Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Nick Harris coming up at 4:20. Fan University tomorrow, 9 to noon there with our guy Carter Freeman. Joey McGuire is going to jump on with him at 9:40. You'll get 3 hours of college football conversation. Maybe you're on your way to joining Broadus there at Tolbert Garage Door or Wolchuk at East Dallas Diesel. It'll be a time for everybody there tomorrow, 9 to noon with the college football talk.
Yeah, bring your best gumbo recipes if you're showing up for that.
Oh, I've always liked to
talk some food with you. I know I talk some ball, but talk some food too.
Okay, we'll talk ball with Nick Harris coming up in 20. Here's Wolchuk with his football fix.
All right, rest in peace. We just found out that Arthur Jones, the brother of John Jones and Chandler Jones, Super Bowl champion with the Ravens, has passed away at 39 years old. We don't know right now exactly the details surrounding his death, but tragic, man. That is so sad. I know the Ravens just announced something, Eric DaCosta, about just the awesome person that Arthur was, but 39 years old, man, just taken away way, way too young.
Is heartbreaking, man.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers to him and the rest of the Jones family.
I honestly wonder how Chandler Jones is doing these days. Wasn't he kind of crashing out pretty hard for a while?
He did have some, he was posting some wild Instagram videos. So I'm sure this one's probably hit him really, really hard. So I wonder if we'll get a Chandler appearance here soon. From that, congratulations to Jerry Jones and Fox's Pam Oliver. They are going to be joining the Sports Broadcasting Hall of Fame coming up, as Calvin Watkins reported. So we know Pam Oliver. She's been a longtime staple Fox sideline reporter really since they started. And Jerry, a big reason, you know, why the new network deal got done with Fox and the NFL, him and Rupert Murdoch getting that thing done in the 90s. So pretty cool. I know they were, Jerry was excited. He's in the same class there as Pam. But congratulations to both of them. Very well deserving.
Yeah, he's an icon in sports TV history. I think that's something that's overlooked.
He's made every one of these owners a billionaire.
So much
I
money.
I mean, I know a lot of these families that now own these teams are not families, but a lot of these owners are got other businesses. But the initial thing, what Jerry Jones did for the owners that got $8 million a year from NFL properties for all their merch and stuff like that is, thank you very much for being a part of the NFL. Well, here's your $8 million check. And Jerry said, no, we're not doing this crap anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to do this with TV. We're going to do this with marketing. And yeah, he's made every one of these owners billionaires for what he's done.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Absolutely. Well deserved there. Last night's game was wild. The line moved to where it was a touchdown favorite for the Rams. And Kyle Shanahan was not happy about this. I guess this was the biggest upset win in terms of the spread for the Niners in 14 years. Shanahan coached teams in San Francisco had come in as an underdog of at least a touchdown 11 times. They'd gone 0-11 in those games. I think last night was maybe the best regular season coaching performance that Shanny and Saleh have done. They were undermanned. No Brock Purdy, no Juwan Jennings, no Ricky Pearsall. That doesn't even mention Brandon Ayuk, who I don't even know if he's going to play this year. Stuff doesn't sound great for him right now.
Kittle.
Yeah, no George Kittle. Now, they do have Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams, and that kind of is what their offense runs through. But Mac Jones, holy hell.
And no Bosa, by the way.
And no Bosa. He's done for the season. So Mac Jones comes out. Was phenomenal. 26-23, they get the upset win. You had the fumble by Kyron Williams at the one-yard line. He was punched in the face, but also Alfred Collins getting the football, the Texas defensive tackle. And then 4th-and-1, McVay goes for it. He was sick to his stomach afterwards, said, I called the wrong play. I messed that up. But here was,
I think he was covering for his guys, man. I mean, you call a run on 4th-and-1, you're like, my bad. You don't have to do that.
It felt like the Niners knew what was coming, though, dude.
That's
like,
the problem.
I mean, they like... Bob and apparently Sala crashed in on that thing.
Apparently a lot of Rams were kind of irritated in the locker room, like post-Super Bowl in Seattle style. Like, I can't believe you took the ball out of our best player's hands. You see what Stafford's doing tonight.
Yeah, I had heard Dan Orlovsky making the comment that there was like that was a trend, like third and one, that's the play call. They would run the same play call about five times previously. Mm. So San Francisco absolutely did. Mm. If they're following the trends defensively, this is most likely what they're going to do. Tendency breaker. That's what McVay needed to do there, and he knows it in hindsight.
You know, okay, where would you guys put on the decision-making meter percentage of what the analytics said, go or not go? Give me the percentage.
I think I saw the numbers, and it was like a 11% increase on your win percentage to go for it there.
Do you have an idea, Zach?
That sounds about right. It was 14% for the Cowboys.
Go for it, 85%.
Yeah, it was only 50%, a little over 50%.
Really?
Yeah. The analytics, I looked this up because I was curious on these. I always look up these decisions these coaches make.
Yeah, it's fun.
And according to our guys at Next Gen, it was just slightly, it was a 4% difference on go or kick the field goal.
It's so funny because there's so many different ones. Because like Seth Walder of ESPN, like the win percentage to go for it was 49%. The win percentage if you kick it is 38%. So it's like 11% difference on that one. But I guess there's different models on how they calculate it.
Yeah, the Next Gen one that they were talking about. They looked at it. Let me pull it up. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. It's fourth and one. Actually, it's fourth and a half. 1.5 yards. The San Francisco's 11 decision was go for it. They recommended go for it by 4.6%. Result was a fail. Go for it was at 50.2. Field goal was at 45.2.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is what Next Gen had.
So the computer likes the tie?
The computer actually said, yeah, about 46% for the tie.
901's saying Shanahan deserves some crap. He didn't play for the win on their last drive of regulation. All they needed was one first down. So would have wanted more aggressive nature.
What call was that? That was Shanahan. Fourth and one?
I don't know what the down and distance was.
Is this overtime or regulation?
This is regulation. Their last drive of regulation. But here was Mac Jones.
Oh, that's a third quarter. They had a fourth and one in the third quarter.
I don't know if it was a fourth and one.
They didn't even try.
It was
they got the ball with 40 seconds and just sat there. Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe you can get into field goal range there and boom, you can win it in regulation. I guess that's what they're referring to. Here was Mac Jones before the game. Kyle Shanahan just real fired up about this spread.
Kyle like came up to me and he was pissed about it. So he's like, dude, I can't believe like they moved us to like underdogs again or whatever more. And I'm like, I don't know what that means really, but like, yeah, let's go kill him, you know. So he was pissed about it. I was like, yeah, I'm pissed too. So
it's amazing. Mac Jones has like he's clueless on this, and Kyle Shanahan is just before the game. What? It's now moved over a touchdown and his blood's boiling. Like, this is ridiculous. But Mac Jones is just he's such a goober.
I know.
He really is.
Do you think the league wants the head coach talking about spreads with the quarterback?
I don't know.
And letting it get out?
Hey, they're
making money off of this.
Yeah, you've welcomed this in.
Absolutely. I think
you think the league would want that.
Because then they're way too aware.
The head coach is talking with the quarterback about spreads.
Because now you're opening up a can of worms. How aware are they if they're kicking a field goal here late in the game just to make sure
they're... How about fumble one for me that's spread? You know what I'm saying?
It's just not... Yeah. You don't want that. You don't want that. But now we've got a quarterback controversy because Mac Jones is playing well. And Brock Purdy's banged up. Here was Mac post-game on the starting quarterback job.
Before the game, there was a report that Brock could be out a few more games. Do you feel like the starting job, you're the starter now, and that's just the way you have to view it?
I think, you know, they brought me here to play as a backup, and that's my job, and Brock's the starter of this team, and right now he's dealing with something, and for him to go out there last week and play when you know he probably wasn't a full health, like he cares about this team, so I'm just trying to get some wins for him so it helps us down the line, and at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Like, I've been in his position, I've been a starter, and you want your backup to go in there and win because at the end of the season, that could be the hit or miss between a playoff or not. So
I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, I would be sick to my stomach if I'm John Lynch and I'm watching Mac Jones go out there and look like he's very capable as a starter, and we have just paid big money to Brock Purdy.
Nah, you just did your job. We're trading him. Yeah, you did your job.
Did you?
Yeah, you did your job.
Could have just said bye-bye and we're not going to pay Brock Purdy and we're going to rock with...
Because we're cowards.
Mac Jones.
Some of us are cowards.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now what you could do is maximize this. Maybe some teams that are quarterback needy start calling you before the deadline.
There you go.
What if Cincinnati calls you?
Trade Brock Purdy.
Old Mac attack.
Like some Mac Jones. Maybe New Orleans is like, could Mac Jones be our quarterback in the future? Maybe Kellen Moore's like, man, he could run my offense.
What's Purdy's number? Is it 50?
53 yeah. is the 53. APY.
53.
Mm. Take him on for 53 for a trade?
If you, yeah, maybe they offer Purdy up.
I think it would be for Mac Jones because he's so cheap right now.
Would you take him on? If you're a team that needed a quarterback, if you were the Saints or something like that,
would I take on Purdy?
Yeah,
no,
I probably. I mean, I no, I don't.
Man,
think
you guys are showing some Mac Jones love right now.
Well, it's just the cheap factor of it all. That's what it is.
I mean, look, Brock Purdy,
who's a better quarterback
between the two of them? I think Purdy's better than Mac, but Mac Jones, I do think, is perfect for the type of offense that Shanahan wants to run. He's a guy that processes well. He's going to run the play that's called, and he's not going to mess around here. Purdy does give me some of those vibes. Is like, okay, now he's been paid, and he's confident in his own abilities. He might be a dude who'll audible every once in a while. Like, you heard Mac Jones talk. He's very small, like, mild-mannered. Like, he's not trying to ruffle any feathers there. I think he's like, Coach, aye, aye, Captain, whatever you want, sir. That's kind of what Kyle Shanahan needs. Trust me. I'm the big genius. I'm the offensive guru here. Run what I tell you to run. Maybe Brock will audible.
I don't know, Dawson. Who do you want?
Well, I want Mac Jones at that price. You know, if I'm San Francisco, I'm looking for anybody to take Brock Purdy off of my hands. But that contract is just unmanageable. So, you know, I guess I wouldn't have done either one. I think if you have a player who's, you know, just been in this perfect situation and has put up stats, but you can look at him and watch him play and be like, that's not an elite player. That's not a Hall of Famer. You got to have the balls to move on from them and trust that you can find a Mac Jones, especially in this environment where more and more guys are finding success in second places. And then if Shanahan, you look yourself in the mirror and you say, I've gone to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. I've gone to the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. You know, we don't need to spend big money on this quarterback thing.
Which they did. So I don't know. It's weird to me what their decision-making is. Also, they went and got Trey Lance. And their quarterback decision-making has been very, very bizarre. We'll see what happens with Mac Jones. If he ends up being the guy or not. Some people are still texting him like, no, Mac Jones is trash. Maybe he is. Could just be a flash in the pan, just a good couple of weeks.
I mean, Carson Wentz had one good game for the Vikings, and now he looks every bit as bad as he's ever been. We'll see what he does tomorrow.
Early NFL trends from Sunday. Aaron Schatz of ESPN. Cowboys, eighth worst pass defense in NFL history through four games.
Right? Wow, I thought you were going to say on the season. I was like, okay, that's not as bad as I was thinking.
No, NFL history.
Worst all time.
Yeah, most passing yards, most passing touchdowns, and net yards per pass attempt. As a result, they've got the eighth worst among pass defenses. Now, here's the good thing. You got a fellow division team that's in here. Giants, third worst run defense through four games in NFL history. Just behind the 79 Saints and the 78 St. Louis Cardinals. Eagles, seventh worst 4-0 team in NFL history through four games.
Yeah.
They rank only 17th in offensive DVOA and 14th in defensive DVOA. And if you, as a result, Eagles rank 12th overall, which is below three different 2-2 teams, Washington, Kansas City, and Denver. So all of that could be positive. The other teams in your division might not be very good either. So maybe that's some chicken soup for your Cowboy soul.
Yeah, the Eagles are getting it done because they don't turn the ball over. And when they get to the red zone, they're dang near perfect.
And their special teams has helped them out and saved games for them.
Yeah, and defensively, now they've gone up against some good quarterbacks. It's about to lighten up with that quarterback schedule.
We'll see.
So their defense should probably start getting a little bit better.
Let me rapid fire just some quick injury reports for you. As you set your fantasy lineups, Terry McLaurin out, not going to be playing against the Chargers. Jaden Daniels back in, is going to be playing for the Commandos. No J.J. McCarthy, so it'll be Carson Wentz, but you might not want to be playing him, fantasy players, because their offensive line's 3 out of 5 starters. So they're dealing with a similar issue the Cowboys are right now.
That's a London game, too, by the way.
That sure is.
Said it early if you got it.
Bucks running back Bucky Irving ruled out foot sprain. Could be out not only this week, but next week as well. And Panthers running back Chuba Hubbard ruled out. Rico Dowdle, former Cowboys star, expected to start against the Miami Dolphins. Could be a nice daily fantasy play there. Maybe even a price picks. More or less in the rushing yards for Rico. Give me more. There's your football fix.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.